That's hard on me, you know. When I was in evangelism, I was in a church, Bellevue Baptist Church, not the one in Memphis, but the one outside Wichita Falls. And there was a young man there named Kyle. And Kyle just fell in love with me. And he was sitting next to me, or standing next to me, and we were singing. And he sang real loud until I stopped and realized I couldn't hardly hear myself sing. And I realized Kyle was on the right verse, and I couldn't find where we were at, you know. But that's where I'm at there, so I've learned now to, if I can't go along, just keep your mouth shut and let it happen. Let it go. Tonight we have two scriptures that we want to bring to your attention tonight. And J.K. was probably, this was probably more appropriate for him, praying the word for kindness. And nevertheless, it fell upon me. So tonight, Colossians chapter 3. I was going to ask Mary Lou to read, but she left her glasses at home. So Colossians chapter 3, if you will, and stand in honor of the Lord. Verses 12 through 14. Paul writes to believers, and he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ has forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness." And then over in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word tonight, and we do thank you for your presence. Father, we pray that you would take your word, and Lord, just may it be driven into our heart, that we may leave this place excited about you. Amen. And that we might be the kind of Christians that would bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and his people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I don't know about you, but it seems like kindness has almost disappeared from our culture. It seems we live in a world really of unmerciful malice. I don't know when the last time you've driven to San Antonio has been, in the early morning traffic, but there is no forgiveness. There is no mercy. There is no kindness. It's get out of my way. And I've never understood how a 21-year-old girl can put on makeup, listen to the radio, and drive 80 miles an hour in an import. I've never seen it before, but I've been there. But possibly, we all want to be kind, but we're hesitant. Maybe we have trouble trusting. In other words, I'm afraid that if I respond in kind, in kindness, that they may think other thoughts about me. Maybe they'll see it as a sign of weakness. And you know, meekness, the scripture bears out that meekness isn't weakness. You know, power under control. But in general, I think we tend to be suspicious, distrustful, fearful towards people that we don't know. And, you know, I try to be kind, and I'll be real honest with you, and hold the door open for ladies. But man, when I'm holding that door open and sister sails on through it and doesn't say, thank you, by your leave, it goes all over me. When sometimes our kindness is reproached or it's ignored or it's not appreciated. But I believe most of it is because we're more into receiving than we are giving. You know, the scripture, I'm going to tell you, I believe it. And when the scripture says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, that's not just a monetary thing. That's everything. But I think that's why the Christmas for Christ offering that we take up every year, I think that's why it means so much to me. Because it's about me giving and about me giving unto the Lord instead of seeing what's wrapped up under the tree for me. But anyway, what exactly is kindness? I looked it up. It's used 7 times in Scripture. Literally, it means useful, virtuous, good, and benevolent. And that's why I've had such a hard time with it. God is kind, but he's kind in purpose. He's not trying to manipulate us. There's a reason that he's kind. You know, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't do it so you'd think better and more of God. He did it because he loves us. And it was purposeful. Romans, Paul writes in Romans, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Listen to this. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. We want to sometimes expose sin, and the sin we expose really is the sin that we're not guilty of. We're really tough on those sins. Those are sins, and if it's something in my life, it's a weakness, you know. But sometimes we think that wrath would lead somebody to repentance quicker than kindness would. But the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And I think that all of us need to reflect, and preachers for certain, we need to dwell on the goodness of God. And how, if we just get off of ourselves, get out of ourselves, and get our thoughts on the Lord Jesus Christ, then it allows us to see ourselves as we really are, and to repent of our sins, and to turn to the lovely Lord. Now, fear will motivate. When I was with McCormick, they were talking about ways to encourage men to get the jobs done, their job done. And we're sitting around a room, and one of the guys says, recognition. In other words, you may not be able to give them a raise, but recognize the good job that they've done. They went round and round the room, and they said, anything else? And I said, fear. And that blew it wide open. But fear, if you don't do a good job, you might lose it. And sometimes we don't have that kind of fear. Fear will motivate, and it will move our will, but it doesn't transform our heart. You know, there was a little boy that was misbehaving, and his mother said, you go and you sit in the corner. He said, I will not. She said, you will too. He said, I will not. And she grabbed him and applied education to his backside. She took him over to the corner, set him down in the chair, and she said, "Son, now you're sitting down." He said, "I'm a sitting down on the outside, but I'm a standing up on the inside." And that's the way we are sometimes. The rebellion there. Well, fear will motivate, but it will not transform our heart. Kindness really reflects an attitude. You ever told your kids or had somebody tell you, "You better get your attitude straight"? You know, kindness really reflects an attitude to extend something without expecting getting something back in return. Usually, you do this, I'll do that. We call it compromise, even in Congress, you know. We're going to compromise this. You do this, and I'll do this. But kindness is not conditional. It comes out of a heart. Out of the heart, it proceeds. To extend biblical kindness, you need to be saved. Amen. And when I read about that in Galatians 5, for years, I would look at that verse and I tried to see which ones I had and which ones I didn't have. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit, singular. That the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. And if it's not all of these things, then we're in the flesh and not in the Spirit. We can't pick our fruit, as it were. You know, it is the fruit of the Spirit and not fruits. Now, everything, excuse me, that God gives to us, Satan has a cheap imitation. You know that? Yes, everything that God has for us that's good and right and righteous and meaningful, Satan has a cheap imitation. And the matter of kindness that flows from the heart, Satan is probably willing to substitute politeness. You know, we can show good manners, but our heart and our motivation is elsewhere. When I'm holding that door for those people, and I hate to preach to me, I really do, but when I'm holding that door, a lot of times I'm being polite. I'm not being kind. It's not out of my heart. I'm waiting for something in return. Thank you. That's really so sweet. You are such a nice man. You know. But I'm getting carried away on this one, you know. But kindness and politeness, we have to be careful not to confuse the two. Proverbs 31:30 says that charm is deceitful. In other words, you can be polite, you can be charming and everything, but it can be very deceitful for all the wrong reasons. You can use it. Romans 16:18 says that it may be smooth, but it's not sincere. And man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, right? And so outwardly, we can be polite and friendly until you get home and you say, "Man, I'm sick of this being polite and friendly." But young people don't have to worry today because there's not a lot of service out there anyway. Used to, we expected service. My kids and my grandkids, they don't expect service. They get it online, and the computer is, I think it's immoral, but they say it's amoral. It's impersonal. you know. And the young people really don't expect service. And that's the dinosaur that does. So kindness is really the expression of love towards people who do not deserve love to glorify God. It's extended regardless. God loved you. God loves you. It really tears me up when I hear parents tell a child, if you do that, Jesus won't love you. No, Jesus will love you. He may correct you. You know, he's not pleased with what you're doing. But we don't need to tell them that Jesus doesn't love them, because he does love them. Kindness is really us participating in God's work. Does kindness come natural? No, it doesn't. There's a lot of things that I've said it, and I know you have. Well, that's just the way I am. You know, that's just the way I am. I'm like a shotgun. I just go off, and then I'm back to normal. But everything you hit isn't back to normal. I mean, there's China laying everywhere. Kindness is that participating in the Lord's work. Now, biblical kindness is not soft on sin. Well, if you really loved, you wouldn't say that, those things. Biblical kindness still calls sin, sin. You know, when my grandchildren or my children were young, and we have a wood heater, and they start going to the wood heater, and you say no, and they say, huh, 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 and they keep going, and you said, I told you no, and they keep, huh, 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 keep going, and you do this, it's not because you don't love them. It's because you don't want to see them burned. And you make that correction, that adjustment, if you will. But kindness, biblical kindness, still calls sin, sin. You can call it merciful confrontation if you want to. And sometimes, like I said earlier, we're harder on the sins that we're not guilty of. I have people all the time say, well, what are you going to do about so-and-so? I mean, this and this and this. I don't know, what are we going to do about you? This and this and this. You know. We're harder on that. I've told you before about what I do at a preacher's conference. Whenever they hit on a sin that I'm guilty of, I don't cow down. I stand up and say, give it to them, brother. You know, I don't want them to think I'm guilty of it. Rusty taught me that, but. Well, we pray the word in kindness because we want to be like the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we forget that he's our pattern. And in Luke 6:31, wait for me when you get there. Jesus said, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Doing good to those that do good for you. I've used the illustration, but years and years and years ago, I want to say 1980, J.K., and was that New Orleans? 1979, 80?
That was Houston.
That was Houston? Okay, anyway, in that I was nominated for a position on one of the national boards for the Southern Baptist Convention. And three pastors got up and spoke against me. I mean, when I heard the third one, I thought I wouldn't vote for that sucker until I realized it was me he was talking about. And I mean, he maligned what little character I had. But years later, I get a call from him. And he says, Butch, I've always thought a lot of you. And I thought, thank God, you're the only one. But he said, I can't pay my insurance on my car. And I'm wondering if you could help me with that. Now, this is a guy I cared nothing about. And I told Joan, and Joan said, you mean to tell me the church is going to help that guy out? She has less mercy than I do, whether you believe it or not. But anyway, I said, no, church is not going to do that. I'm going to do that. Because he's asked me, and I need to do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Because I really can't stand the guy, I'll be honest with you. And yet, when we do something as unto the Lord, then the Lord who sees in secret rewards us openly. Amen. And I'd like to tell you I've learned a lesson there, but I just learned it over and over and over again. Well, we're to pray the word in kindness to be like the Lord. You know, people live in a lot of condemnation and just heap it upon themselves. And the scripture says that while we were yet in our sin, that Christ died for us. Not when we got it all together. Not when we started serving the Lord. When we were yet in our sins, Christ loved us and died for us. Well, our kindness identifies us. You know, the scripture says, by this shall men know that you're my disciples, by your love for the brethren. There's more mean-spirited fighting folks in church than there probably is out of church. The ones in the bar, they've drank themselves into oblivion or happiness, as Barbara could testify from from heaven's gates. All through that thing, I worried about her unborn child, and I thought... But the kindness identifies us. You know what the greatest act of kindness ever was? The cross, right? Calvary. The greatest act of kindness ever. Ever. And I guess it's the pivotal point of all of history. Calvary. All of the Old Testament saints, they looked forward to Calvary. In every sacrifice, they saw the cross. Didn't understand it all, but they knew. We look back at the cross, but the cross is still the pivotal point. And it's how do we respond to the cross? Yesterday, Melissa and I were they had an auction on the steps of the courthouse in Seguin. And to make a long story short, we were waiting for somebody else to show up. And the crowd dispersed. And there was just Melissa and I and one other man that was waiting there. And so we began to talk, and or I began to talk, let's get it straight, and began to talk about the Lord. And he says, well, here's what I believe. I'm really into meditation and good works. He said, I was raised in this kind of background, but now I'm just into meditation and good works. And I said, well, meditation that you just said, what are you meditating on? Well, good works. You know, so this is basically what it was about. And I said, good works are fine. And I said, the Bible even agrees with, goes along with the matter of good works, but it's from the cross and not to the cross. I said, grace, greater than our sin, leads us to the cross. And we're big on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But probably five of us couldn't quote verse 10. That we're created unto good works. We don't serve to be saved, but we're saved to serve. You know, to work from the cross, not to the cross. So, how do we respond to Calvary? This guy said, well, I want to leave this world a better place by doing good. And I said, where are you going to go when you leave this place? You know, I can agree that you want to leave the world a better place, but where are you going? Well, I haven't really thought about it. I said, well, it's something that you really ought to think about. He said, well, I just kind of feel like if I do more good than bad. I said, bingo, you remind me of myself. That's what I thought. If I did more good than bad, I'd go to heaven. More bad than good, I'd go to hell. And I said, but let me ask you this. If good works will get you to glory, to heaven, then the God that you say that you believe in is the meanest person in the universe, because he let Jesus die for nothing. He said, well, I never really thought of that. And I shared with him the plan of salvation, Melissa and I. He didn't pray to accept Christ. But what we claim is that somebody can't outrun the Holy Spirit of God. You know, there comes a time they have to lay down. There comes a time that they have to be still. And the Holy Spirit will certainly do his work. So the question tonight is, have you responded to God's incredible act of kindness? Have you responded to the cross? I've only had it on a few occasions, but I don't know if you have. Have you ever gone to shake hands with somebody and they looked at your hand like it was nasty and ugly, and they didn't shake hands with you? And you don't know what to do with it. I mean, your hand gets real big, and it's just hanging out there, you know. And they have rejected you in kind. And I don't know about you, but it's not a good feeling to me. You know, I reach out, shake hands with somebody, I want a good handshake. And I try to be sensitive if they've had operation on their wrist, but I don't want to hold a fish either. How you doing? I don't like that. I'm scared of that, but that's another thing. But how do we respond? How do we respond to his kindness? Because that's basically what the cross is. Amen. Jesus is saying, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. And how people respond to that is going to have an eternal impact. If you don't know him, you need to know him. Wonderful thing is, you can bow the knees of your heart wherever you're at. Ask the Lord to forgive you. You're serious. He'll be serious and forgive you. You ask Him to come into your heart and life and save you, He'll do that. Tonight, whatever the decision may or may not be, you need to turn loose to Him. Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for Your presence. Lord, we thank You, as the Scripture says, that Your ear is not deaf that You cannot hear. Neither is Your arm shortened that You cannot save. And so, Lord, tonight I know that You want to do something in someone's life here tonight. But, Father, they've got to take their hands off and let You have it. And so may it even be so tonight.